15th, 1980.
No, isn't it the...
Well, about that.
Well, about it.
Okay, could you tell us your name, please?
Sigourney Havens.
And when were you born?
In January 10th, 89.
1889.
That's right.
Okay, where were you born?
In 3 miles out of Brookville in Howe.
Where is Brookville?
Well, Brookville is somewhere out near Clarion, up near Sigel, up near Clarendon.
Oh, up north there. You
pass it on the road to Cook's Forest.
I see.
Where you go there.
Were your parents born in America?
Yes.
They were.
Yeah.
How many generations did your family go back in America?
Back to Helen Alec McNaughton. He came from Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And that is my great-grandparent. And the great-grandmother and the grandparent came from Ireland.
Oh,
the
Highlands
of up in through there.
Uh-huh. What did your father do for a living?
Music. He taught. He his name. You want to know his name?
Yes.
William Henry Absalom Mathers.
Uh-huh. Mathers, huh?
Mathers, M-A-T-H-E-R-S. Yes.
I see. Uh-huh.
And he taught music and schools.
Oh, I see. Where in what place?
Do you know where? It was Ella Post Office, or Harmony Ridge, and up in Sigel,
uh-huh.
In Zimmerman Hill, and
uh-huh.
All those.
Up near Clarion, huh?
Yeah.
Small towns, villages near Clarion.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And up in the hills.
Uh-huh.
The times they sent him, asked him to go where they kicked a good many teachers out. And
oh,
he went.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you mean kicked teachers out?
Well,
what
they
was the problem?
Kicked them up and threw them out.
The students did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Up there in the Zimmerman Hill. And up and through there, you know, there's some of those older than he was. He came out of the orphan school at 16. He was in there from the Civil War, from he was 8 until he was 16.
You mean your great-grandfather was killed in the Civil
yes.
War?
Yes. Uh-huh. Wait a minute. My that grandfather.
Your grandfather was killed?
Yeah.
He was killed in the Civil
yeah,
War?
Yeah, uh-huh. In the Battle of the Wilderness.
Oh, uh-huh. In 64.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did your father ever talk about his father?
Well, he couldn't remember too much about them,
uh-huh.
Because it was scattered there or something,
oh, I see.
And he didn't know too much about them.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, after I guess I was about 15, he met and found out through seeing people and hearing the name Mathers,
uh-huh.
Well, that he met some cousins, but back through there that I don't know what it was. I did know, but I guess you know them. I forget a lot of things.
Uh-huh. Did your father ever talk about the orphanage?
Yeah.
What was it like there?
It was wonderful.
Was it?
It was wonderful. He came out of there uh-huh. with practically the equivalent of a college education.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
well, where was the orphanage located?
You know down here where Fisher?
Where?
You know where Fisher it is?
No. Oh, you mean near Mercer? Is it?
No. Down
Fish
out
Road,
of,
south of?
Well, it's towards Clarion from... From Sigel, I'm pointing.
Oh, I see.
They can't see me pointing.
Yeah, right. No. It's near Clarion, though. Huh?
Well, yes. And
it was set up for Civil War orphans?
Yes, uh-huh. It was. And my grandmother, he and his cousins, there was 4 brothers uh-huh. of my dad's family, and 2 of his cousins, and they were raised in there as brothers,
oh,
you see, in the orphan school.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother moved from the old homestead, a farm there in Fisher. She moved there and she baked bread for them, and that's the way she earned her living.
By baking bread?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a pretty tough life? Or was it?
Well, he thinks it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
He thinks that they did. He was never sick a day in his life, in uh-huh. bed a day in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was killed by a car at 84.
Uh-huh.
But they did. He thinks, or he thought, I mean, that his good health was due, that they didn't have rich food in the home. But no, there was, no, he said they were good to them.
Uh-huh.
And I think there must have been, because don't ask me to talk about my dad, because he was the most wonderful guy that ever lived.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I could tell you that if he'd have told me to jump off a high building, I wouldn't get hurt, I'd have jumped.
Uh-huh.
Now that's,
yeah.
But he wouldn't tell me wrong.
I see.
No,
he really loved him. Huh?
Yes, and so uh-huh. did other people. That these schools he was sent to, one time, was all that, and then it was a whoever gets the other down to say Gravy would be boss of the school.
Is that right?
Yeah, but they didn't know that he had a little pugilist off in school, so he could handle them easy without hurting him. But from that on, and man, his name was Guy Van Horn, in there, and he turned out to be a wonderful guy.
I see.
So, in through it.
Did your father talk much about the schools he taught in?
Well, that he taught in? Yeah. Well, I was with them a good bit in them.
Oh, were you?
I went
You went to school in your father's school.
We would, I had a few other teachers, but we would mostly move. We centered up here, what I called Harmony Ridge. Mm-hmm. It was Ella Post Office, but I think that post office is gone now. But our home there, and we would usually, wherever he went to teach, we would.
Were the kids so rough with teachers all over, or was that just kind of a local situation?
No, I think, I'll tell you. On the ridge where I went to school, there was another teacher in there. And he did things that the kids would think it terrible now if they sometimes, to be punished, you'd say, take the easy chair. You know what the easy chair was?
No.
I'll show you sometime when we get through here to sit down against the wall and to sit down like you're sitting on a chair and sitting there.
Oh.
You see, right with it. And
you mean with your legs straight out?
Just sitting like only sitting against the wall.
Yeah.
You know, shut that off if you want me to tell you.
You leaned up against the wall with your body about a foot off the floor.
Like you were sitting on a chair,
yes.
But there was no chair there.
And you really have to lean hard against the wall to stay up.
Yeah, and it would they'd sit there until they'd cramp.
I see.
And cramp, and they'd fall down.
Uh-huh.
He had the eraser of the pencil had a little needle in there about that sharp, and you go down, he'd come stick you in the shoulder with it. And it'd go there.
Did he have to do that to control the kids? Was that how bad
my dad didn't have to. My dad taught them all right. I didn't love my dad, you know that. My dad didn't have to do that.
Oh, other teachers did.
This one teacher did that, that I knew I was there, and that was the main thing. And I know that some of them would they would talk naturally. It was some of my relatives too that he had to control, but it wasn't necessary. It wasn't, because there wasn't any such thing as that. But he was the boss and whatever it would be.
Well, why did they resort to those very extreme measures? Was
I don't
it because
know
the kids were tough, or because they weren't good teachers?
They weren't good teachers.
Well, that was
I feel a teacher should be a dedicated teacher. My dad was a dedicated teacher. And if my dad was here teaching, he would not go on strikes. I'm sure of that. That's not good for the children.
Yeah.
No, I think it's terrible for a teacher to go on strike, because I've taught in Florida. I tried to work with the children, and they were there. And I said, why do you do this? The teachers do, why can't we? Why can't we? Nobody loves us. And why can't we? And I say, it can be, the Bible says, no strikes. You don't do that. And I know back in when I was coming up, there wasn't the strikes. And automatically, when they come, as they could, give them a raise, isn't it? The last 2 years, my dad taught. He taught 30 years. The last 2 years, he got $40 a month.
$40 a month. What year was that about?
Well, let me see. He quit teaching when I was 19, and they went to the...
Let's see, that would be about, 1900, huh?
1908, I believe.
Oh, yeah, right.
I believe it was 1908, either 1908 or 1910, but I believe it was 1908 or 1909, I forget which at all. But
that was $40 a month about then.
Yeah, but he and I went to... I was a kid, of course. He taught me music. My brothers and sisters didn't care for it, but we would go out and sing and play the violin and for each other, and we made more during the vacations than he did.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you did it for money too, playing music.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well,
what would you do? Where would he play?
Well, at Brookville, at Tyonesta, at Clarion.
Well, what kind of occasions? Weddings or what?
Well, just part of the time, you know, at that time, they had institute took a week at Christmas time. There was 2 weeks vacation, and it could, there was 1 week was they got paid for and went to Brookville to the institute.
Oh,
it was a week of institute.
And I see. Training, more or less.
Well, entertainment, and them too getting up and talking.
I
had the advantage of getting in and hearing them and being with them. And one time to be an opera, and one Paderewski was there. And I feel I didn't know it meant anything then, but I feel now that Paderewski let me as a little brat sit on the piano bench with
him. Is that right?
Yeah, playing.
The Polish pianist.
Yes, playing on there. And I asked him when he was playing chopsticks. And of course I'd heard it, and I says, why do you use both fingers on that key? You know, some doesn't. They don't think they play one and rest the other.
Yeah.
I was talking to Billy, and I says, how that? He says, well, if I keep this finger going, it's ready to start out when the other does, instead of having to bring it up.
So you talked to Paderewski.
Oh, yes. And
can you tell me more about the institute? It lasted a week.
Yes,
for teachers.
Well, the 5 days. 5 days for the teachers.
It was for teachers,
yes.
And they would all come to the same town? From
to Brookville. It was in Brookville.
Where did they stay overnight?
Well, at hotels.
At hotels.
You know.
Was it at the beginning of school?
No, at the Christmas time.
At Christmas time.
At the Christmas, one of the
Christmas vacation.
Week. Yeah, there was one week, you know, and the other week.
What was the purpose of the institute?
Well, you know, now they have the institute, but maybe a day at a time.
Uh-huh.
Well, there they had a 4 or 5 days of it, and that was it for the year.
Well, it was primarily to teach the teachers?
For them to, like postgraduate.
Yeah, I see.
You know,
they discussed problems of teaching.
Yes, huh? And then entertainment. I know I had the seeing operas, and Dad was there. That's how I got the name Sigourney. He was in, he took part in that opera, while I was on the way, and he said, if it's a girl, he's going to call her Sigourney. And he hopes it'll be like her.
Uh-huh.
I just can't sing as well as she can, but she talked just as much as like I do. He did too. So that was the way it was.
Okay. Do you remember what it was like? Did he ever talk about teaching? How many hours a day did he have to teach?
Oh, sometimes he went with them to 3 o'clock in the morning.
Is that right?
We had no failures. See, he taught the music and the school, and it was all grades in one room.
One-room school.
Yeah, they think now 30 is too many to be in a room. But there, maybe there's 75 in
is
the room.
Right?
And with the whole 6 grades. Sixth grade was called a common school education. That was it, the 6th grade. And there the whole, and I know that they said my sister learned before she was ready to win school. We could go, when we was kids, we could go to school with them.
Oh.
Even at that, you know.
Even young kids,
Because
school age.
Yes.
They let him come.
Yeah, well, he had the privilege of whatever he wanted to do.
Oh.
And he thought it, when it was good for them, why they did. It taught us to sit and listen.
Yeah.
And I think that was, that's something we don't do now.
Yeah.
We don't listen. And as I say, the children, but don't, I hedgehog, you know. But I don't blame the children for being bad. They, 99 times out of 100, it's the parents.
Yeah.
I don't believe in a woman going to work and leaving no children and care of someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that, and the children resented it too.
Yeah.
So there. But
did you ever have many, were there many broken homes back when your dad
taught? No. No divorces. And I only know of one illegitimate child. But I didn't know. I was 10 and Pat, and I still didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
But no, those things didn't.
Well, let's see now. Did you became a teacher yourself? Huh?
Well, I taught music.
In the schools?
No.
Oh, at home.
Well, I taught music. I was a nurse and a licensed beautician. I got those
all. Well, let's start with your first job. What was your first job?
My first job? When I was 15, I didn't even know where a baby come from. And I delivered one.
Is that right?
Yeah, in Brookville.
About 1904. How did that come about?
Well, they had the fair in Brookville, and Dad and Mother had a booth at the pay, and of course I was there too.
Why did they have a booth?
Oh, she made soup.
And they sold
yes.
soup, I see.
Oh, listen, then they did everything they could to,
make
you know,
some
to
money, huh?
get up, and they saw that we kids had what we needed. We didn't appreciate it, I know. But now I was with her, she had had more. And back at that time, you know, they didn't go to the hospital or anything.
Yeah.
Have to the doctor. And when I was with her staying at night.
Uh-huh.
And when the baby was coming, she says...
Who was this?
Her name was Mathers. Nelson.
A relative?
Yeah, his cousin's wife. Yes. Uh-huh.
And you happened to be with her that
yeah.
night.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because they were at the fair.
Yeah,
it?
Well, they lived there in Brookville.
Uh-huh.
And you see, I stayed with her at night from, you know, the... instead of the fair.
Uh-huh.
And when she told me, she says, go get what to get, about she had instruments already.
Oh, she was quite willing to have you have the baby.
Oh, that's the only person that was there.
Oh, I
and
see.
I didn't know. I said, I don't have to do this. Well, I'll tell you.
Well, didn't anyone expect a baby? Was it an unexpected thing?
No, no. But that's the way things were then.
It was no big deal in those
no,
days.
No, it was no big deal. Someone would go out and have their baby. I remember they'd have the baby and the next day be out in the cornfield holding corn.
Was that right?
The people doesn't know now what it means. And no one resented it.
Uh-huh.
No, I never heard anyone say, I've got a tough time.
Uh-huh.
And all through there. But when that baby...
Well, what did she tell you to get?
To cut the cord.
She a knife to cut the
yes,
cord?
Yes, scissors and all to cut the cord and have that way and the spring and all. And I come and she told me and I tied that cord and cut it and bathed the baby.
Well, then she really had the baby herself.
Well, no, I was with her. I had to pull the baby.
Oh, you pulled the baby.
And I nearly scared to death.
Uh-huh.
And I says, what look what? You can imagine what I was like.
Yeah.
She says, come on, this is all right. This is natural. This is the way for it to come.
Oh, she was completely rational.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Did she cry out much?
No. No, she didn't.
Were people tougher then? Or
yes.
What do you think
yes.
it was? That was just it, huh?
Yeah.
They were tougher.
They were tougher. And, of course, there was no anesthetic then. No ether. No anything.
Yeah.
I had three boys. And the last one came in 16. And there was no... the last one was born in a tent.
You know, in a tent?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was just normal.
That was in Ohio.
Uh-huh. Oh,
their
see.
Dad was in the oil business.
Oh.
And I gypsied around with them,
uh-huh.
you know, where they were.
Well, we'll get
going.
To that. What happened after that? What was your first job, your next job?
Let me think. The next job was in of course, the jobs was going out and singing and playing. We played the duets on the violin.
And you and your dad?
Yes, uh-huh. and we'd sing duets, and sometimes I'd play the piano, and sometimes he'd play it.
But now, was this at churches or at school?
No, at big, I can't tell you what all it was.
Lodges?
Well, for,
in,
listen, I was 8 years old when I started, and there was no mic. No mic, but they 500 in the building could hear us, you know, right off. The acoustics had to be better than they are now. But I say at that, and then when I was 19, I took the TV, and they went down in West Virginia, up in the mountains.
You had TV?
Yeah, went up in the mountains. And I was up in their colony, so in there.
Were there many people with TB there? Was that a sanatorium?
Well, yes.
Or did you just say, well, that's a better place
Well,
to
it
be.
Was up in there, and there was a building.
Uh-huh.
And they had meals we fixed, and so Dad and Mother did cooking for us out there. And my job
now
was...
Now, your parents took you to West Virginia because you had TB.
He quit school teaching
to
go take me down there.
How long were you there?
Till we went there.
How many years?
2 years.
2 years.
Uh-huh.
What did your dad do while you were there?
Well, the music. He taught around through there on music.
Uh-huh.
And we formed, there was no church. And the federal building, we got fixed up for a church.
Uh-huh.
And they could formed an orchestra. Everyone in the mountains can play the violin.
Oh, is that right?
And pick the banjo.
Uh-huh.
They could all do that, and they all knew how. They'd get the violin down here in their arm, you know, and
the kid,
and sneak like that. But no, by the time we left there, had a church going, and through that. But I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was no money in it.
Uh-huh.
No, we didn't do that. We did that for the good. He did other things, you know, taught around and got some money for it.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Mother got paid for cooking. You
see,
to begin through there.
Uh-huh. Well, what did you do when you got back?
We went to Illinois.
Oh, did you?
Bridgeport, in the oil fields.
Oh, in southern Illinois?
In Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, Illinois.
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's about 14 miles from Vincennes.
Oh, that's over near the Indiana border,
yeah,
isn't it?
About 14 miles from Vincennes. And that, of course,
there were oil fields there.
Oh, yes, that was a big oil field there.
Why did you decide to go there?
Well, my brother, older brother, was there on the wells, and he wanted us to come out there, and so went out there and started a boarding house.
Oh, a boarding house.
Yeah, we started a boarding house.
Was there a lot of money in the oil fields?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And that we had, but we, they built built a place and had the upper floor for the men to sleep in and to eat. Uh-huh.
And did you, was it good money in boarding houses? Did you make some money?
Well, sure we did. Uh-huh. Built and paid for the place.
It did, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh.
How many boarders did you have at one time?
Well, I think they had for 18.
18.
Yeah, had room upstairs.
For 18 boarders,
to sleep, and some come in to come out.
Did they have a private room? Each have a private room?
No, no.
What did they do?
Just had, we had the single cots for each one to sleep in.
How many would sleep in a room?
The whole, it was up over the whole.
What kind of a dormitory?
Up over the kitchen, dining room, living room, and two bedrooms below, and it was all straight through, and we had that just in one big room.
I see.
And them all to.
Oh, like on cots, huh?
Up cot and, and through there.
Uh-huh. What kind of people were the boarders?
Well, some were and some weren't.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. One tried, the men would give me their money to go bank for them. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have to wait. So one night, one that was in there, someone, come over, they wakened me reaching over my head.
Uh-huh. To get the money?
To get my pocketbook.
Uh-huh.
And when they did, I screamed.
Uh-huh.
And I screamed, and the dog that was in debt come running in and got out. But I saw his belt. I saw the buckle.
Oh.
And I couldn't place it, but the next day at the rumor, I recognized it, and I told them that's who it was. So they got him.
Is that right?
Yeah, they got him.
He was one of the boarders?
Yeah, he's one of the boarders. Uh-huh. So that's where I met my husband.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, we had been away in music out to Alney. Do you know where that is? From Bridgeport.
I've heard of it, yeah.
We had been out there in the music, and we come back. Well, he had come in to work in oil fields. And I thought he had a suit on like my brother.
Uh-huh.
And they looked similar to each other. And I called him to come over. Uh-huh. I said, my brother, I said, come over here. And I grabbed his head and took his head down. And he kissed me, and it wasn't my brother. I slapped him. In 4 months, we were married. So they say that that's the way to get a husband, slap them. That's what the women all said, you know. Uh-huh. We had a good life.
Uh-huh. Well, how did he court you?
Well, we went to shows and went out. Of course, we liked to dance.
Uh-huh.
And through there, I was married the first day of January in 1911, and I was 22. On the 10th. Through there. But from then on, we started in around traveling around over the United States. Finally, he got into only the tools and everything. And
oh, you mean he went around the country to oil fields?
Well, that's after we got married that he started in. How we come to get married so soon? He said, I said, well, you know, we'd wait a while and see. Mm-hmm. Well, he says, I have to take a trip. He told Quinn, and he says, I want you to go with me.
Uh-huh.
Well, we get married right away, and you know what the trip was?
What?
Wedding trip.
Oh.
That's, yeah, but that's the way, and I was just as silly as he was at everything, you know, being there. But no, we then got through and went out and took interest in the whales. Another man went together with eight string, you know, those big tools.
The derricks, you mean?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
He bought derricks?
Yeah, he got those and had
to try and drill an oil well himself.
Well, he did. No, he had drilled for other people. And then times that he was what they called a good fisherman to lose the tools. You ever been around a drilling well?
No, but well, I can guess. You mean they would drop in the hole?
Well, you know, they run casing.
Yeah.
From the first big casing.
Yes.
Then they're drilled down till it starts caving.
Yeah.
Then they run casing inside of that and keep on until it quits.
Uh-huh.
And I learned the beat to get so that I could drill.
Oh, you drilled too?
I knew the touch of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell me about that.
But as the kids come, I'd make beds over in the way out in the corner for them, and them sleep there with us, and I'd run tower with them.
Oh, you mean your house was out there in the field? You put up
Sometimes a tent. As I say, the youngest one was born in, yes, in the tent.
Oh, what was that life like?
Wonderful.
Was it?
Wonderful. Uh-huh. They talk now about women wearing pants. Uh-huh. Well, he said they all had to wear, they couldn't wear dresses around there. Uh-huh. The women, there was 25 men, you know, under him. And there was 20, they had to wear pants. Uh-huh. And we had to learn to shoot.
You did?
And carry a gun. And
why would you have to shoot?
Why? There was no police. No. Out where we'd go out in, and you know, Pretty Boy Float, all those.
Yeah.
You know, they'd come around and raise, and we had to...
Defend yourself.
We had to, learn to defend ourselves. And I could outshoot any man.
Is that right?
Yes. And I don't...
How'd you learn?
Well, I just...
Just kept practicing?
My husband just... Yes.
Your husband taught you?
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, every Kentuckian, he was from Kentucky, every uh-huh. Kentuckian had to... you know to shoot and, yeah. and know what to do. But we went then on to an Indian reservation.
Oklahoma?
Yes, uh-huh. An Indian reservation.
Yeah.
And when it got in, we had a little cottage then,
yeah.
but they took the windows, boarded them, you know, so that they couldn't come in.
The Indians?
No.
The outlaws.
The outlaws when they get through.
There were that many outlaws, huh?
Oh, man.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. And
what year was this about? 1911, did you say?
Wait, this was about 15, maybe.
1915.
Yeah, somewhere between 14.
A lot of robbers and burglars
uh-huh.
would come through.
I know I had the two boys then.
Uh-huh.
And one night, you could hear them, and I had the rifle. Mm-hmm. That I could hear them coming. I had the rifle. I had my boys asleep over here, you know, so I could guide them. And I could look out the cracks and see men out on horseback. And they, you know, under a tree.
Yeah.
And the next morning, a big buck Indian come to the door. And when he come, I look, he says, "You lady, you know, be afraid. We watch you."
Oh, was
you,
that right?
Yeah. That was them uh-huh. that I saw on the horseback out watching my cottage to take care of me.
How'd you get along with the Indian?
Good.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. Good. Good. Mm-hmm. Better.
No.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. And anything, they do anything I want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to help and all through there. No, I don't like to hear the Indians run down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we abused them.
Mm-hmm.
We come over and took their place for them,
yeah.
from them. And I think mm-hmm. it was. But no, the oil fields was it was a good life. And mm-hmm. I wore unless, mm-hmm. When I go in town,
mm-hmm.
we'd get in there. I wore dresses then mm-hmm. to church. But
how did men treat you?
Good.
Uh-huh.
They treated me like a...
Was there any problem with your wearing pants?
No.
No.
No?
No.
Uh-huh. No. See, we were out there. The women all wear pants. Uh-huh. It was those coveralls.
Yeah.
There was, you know, like the what they call the jumpers, I guess,
yeah.
now, but all the covers all. Uh-huh. And it was that way that it wasn't safe, they felt, for a woman to go around. Uh-huh. My husband felt that it wasn't. And he believed in women uh-huh. being taken care of,
uh-huh.
you know, to be there.
Yeah.
And that's part of the time why that I would go to the well, you know, from midnight to midnight or from...
Well, 12-hour stretch.
12, you know, it was 12 hours until the Second World War.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, everybody, you know they work. No, you don't. But, you know, it was 12 hours. And I know in nursing sometimes, during the Second World War, sometimes I was on 36 hours without being off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty hard on you. But
it
couldn't have been too hard. I wouldn't have lived to be
true.
90, almost 92, would
I? Well, what did you do with your kids while you were on your 12-hour stretch?
Well, I had my husband. He could take
care. Oh, he would help, huh?
Yes.
He would help?
Oh, yes. He'd take care of them. And then my cousin couldn't, instead of her being able to do anything, said she would stay there.
And babysit, sort of?
She'd stay there with them. And ordinarily, when I would be out the 12 hours, you see, my husband would be home, and she'd be with them.
Who cooked when you were working a 12-hour shift?
Oh, I cooked.
Oh, you cooked
and
as well?
He helped cook.
Oh, he helped cook.
Yeah, he could make the best cornbread biscuits you ever tasted.
Uh-huh.
And all through it.
I don't suppose there was much house upkeep if you were in a tent or a little car. What did you live in if you didn't live in a tent?
Well, he built what they called boxcars.
Uh-huh.
It was like the trailers, only not on wheels.
I see.
But had built cupboards and... Uh-huh. Everything inside.
Easy to keep up.
Yes, easy to keep up.
Is that why they were built that way, or what?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He built them himself.
So you didn't have much housework to do then, huh?
No. But yet, the wash was on the washboard.
Oh, you had to do the washing, huh?
On the work, like there was.
Yeah.
It had to be done.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you, the women in those days washed their baby's diapers.
Oh, did they?
Why? Uh-huh. There was not such a thing. And if the women would do that now, I'm not against all that. If they would, it wouldn't take so much to live. Mm-hmm. But they want it too easy.
Yeah.
I mean it. And I know that all the women, had that to do, and all through it, and we didn't think anything of it because of it. But my
it's normal, huh?
I get talking, don't realize what the time going.
We'll know when it's over.
Right.
Make a noise. No, it's very interesting. Let's talk about your life now. Let's see what happened. How long were you in the oil fields?
From 19 and 12 until 1936.
Oh, you were in on that big strike out in there, Texas. What do they call that place? Big strike?
Can I wait just a minute? If I think of it, I'll tell you.
You know about it.
Yes.
The big oil strike of the 20s out in Texas.
Yeah.
You were in on that?
We were.
What was life like out
Caddo
there?
Caddo is what I'm trying to say. Caddo was a great big.
Yeah, the big strike.
Yeah, in Caddo, Texas.
And you lived in the oil fields in that very time.
To get into the nursing when I told you when I was 15 that I get in there.
Oh, a practical nursing.
I went in training. Uh-huh. Yes, in through there, and that led to shelf. And then when I went to Rochester, I was put in to nurse the Roberts, the owner of the Roberts School of beautician there. Uh-huh. And he was a yeller.
Oh yeah.
Yeller.
He yelled and screamed.
Yes, he yelled. I didn't and when he yelled at me, I didn't answer him. Uh-huh. He said, "Didn't you hear me?" I said, "Well, I heard you make a noise." "Well, when you answer?" I said, "You didn't call my name. I thought you strung someone else." And a couple of times like that, he quit his yelling at me.
Uh-huh.
And we settled down. Uh-huh. Then he says, "Why didn't you go in and take the training in the beautician?" He says, "I think that'll be easier on you than nursing and taking people like me." He says, "Have to be there." So I went in then. He gave me part of my tuition.
If I couldn't go in there.
Uh-huh. So I took that up.
Did you prefer hairdressing to nursing?
Well,
what was it like to be a nurse?
I'm going to tell you. I enjoyed the nursing until I took care of a lady that she wouldn't have any prayers. She didn't know God is an enemy.
I see.
No, she wouldn't have any prayers. Her son-in-law was a minister, and we tried talking to her, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't do any good. It's just a hell with God, and so forth. And finally, when you come down, the doctor, he says, "She's only got it's minutes with her now," and I told her, when she was laying there, and I looked at her and said, "Can't you ask God to help you and help to get you here?" And she started to say something, and finally she just shook this way. She says, "It's too late. The devil's got me down now." And that's the way she died, just like this, going down to death with the devil. With it. I saw that, and I saw my son, the way he was that way, and I couldn't see him that way. I had seen my grandmother go, reaching her hands up to God. When she went, I was sure, but I couldn't stand it to see someone else die.
Oh, it hurt too much. Huh?
Both of them, and I just couldn't take it.
I see.
So I did that, but then when I couldn't, I developed phlebitis when Oscar was born, and I couldn't stand up, for it.
Oh.
So I could then, in Florida, where I had a music class down there.
Oh, I see. And then you moved to Florida after Rochester.
I went to Florida. In 43, Oscar got married, And but after he was, I guess I saw him safely married. No, I don't mean that, because he had to see me safely through a lot of things. But
where'd you go in Florida?
Tampa.
What was Tampa like in those
Wonderful.
Days? Was it?
Yeah.
Not too crowded, huh?
No, it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. The Florida people. Now I'm a Pennsylvania by birth and all, but and a lot of people say the same thing as when there. They're so much friendlier than Pennsylvania is stiff.
Is it? Huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It is stiff. I'm talking.
Your home state.
Yeah, I'm talking about home state, and people know it. But a good many of the people in the Tampa is from the north.
Yeah, right.
Very, very few southern-born, unless they went from Pennsylvania, or from come down north, and the ones that were born there then.
Yeah.
But of the old-timers, very, very, very few of them, and all through there. But I'll tell you, and another thing, I enjoyed there being with the black people.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Were there any black people up north here when you were a girl? Were there
once in a while a group would come in, you know, they go in groups and preach and pray, you know, and all.
Yeah, kind of like a camp meeting.
It's kind of like that, and that's all that I knew.
Well, no, you never really had any contact with
blacks. No, I'll take it back. When we went to West Virginia, my brother was he was born in 1900, and he was about 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And he went down there, and there was a black man was in there too, and his son was Ed's age. Mm-hmm. And they had a good time together so much. But in Tampa, mm-hmm, I had as many black as white. Mm-hmm.
You got along, even in 1943.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. I sang with the black people. I enjoy singing with them. And some say that I sound like a black person singing sometimes. Now, my voice is low. Mm-hmm. And Uh-huh. And they were good to me. Uh-huh. They were good to me. I was clobbered there. Uh-huh. And it found out it was a black man that did it. And the black people there, they said, well, it wasn't a very nice remark they made, but how they'd string them up if they could catch them.
Oh, you were mugged by a black man.
Yeah,
I see.
I was mugged.
In that year? Then, during the war?
About 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, 3 years ago.
In Tampa?
Yeah, in Tampa.
I see. Oh, you've lived down there ever since,
yeah,
huh?
Until 78. Uh-huh. Until 78, when Oscar... my brother died, my sister died, and my niece that was there and all. And I was there alone. And
you were alone.
He says, Mom, you can't stay here any longer alone.
I see.
And he come down with it, made two trips with his truck to bring me up.
Oh,
and you know, he must be, he must be all right when he still wants his mother to sing in the choir.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a good many wouldn't want their mother.
You still singing the choir at 91.
I sing in the choir.
That's remarkable.
And the alto and all. So he wouldn't, if he thought I wasn't some kind of an asset, he wouldn't have me. He'd say, Mom, I think it's better for you to, you listen and enjoy what we're doing. But no, he says he needs altos, so and through that way. I had three wonderful boys.
Yeah.
The police never come.
Yeah.
The neighbors never complained about them.
If they care about you when you're old, you've done a good job.
Well, they do. I think they do.
Incidentally, were there any big events that occurred when you were young, like floods or fires? Do you remember any big events going on?
The Johnstown.
Were you around the Johnstown flood?
Sure.
Is that right? Whereabouts were you? How close to the Johnstown
right
flood?
Right now, I can't tell you.
Uh-huh.
We were in Pennsylvania. We weren't here, you know.
Oh, but you heard about the big flood,
yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Does that stand out in your mind as a big event when you were young, Johnstown flood?
I don't know. I didn't think, I hadn't seen anything like it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize. I have been in so many floods and hurricanes, you know, and all those
down
things.
Down in Tampa. Huh?
In Oklahoma.
Oh, the tornadoes.
And in Kansas, and there was no warning then.
Uh-huh.
All we could see that coming this way.
The twister.
We could see that, but we didn't know of any other. But we got to realize when it began to get real still, uh-huh, no breeze rolling, you know, just all
utterly quiet.
Yes, wondered if it was coming. Uh-huh. And I know while I was in bed with Oscar there, we had storm caves. Uh-huh. And of course, my leg had bursted open, and I couldn't just stack up the, you know, uh-huh. I couldn't get out. And my husband, he put all three of the boys, Oscar was a baby, yeah. got them in bed with me. He got the mattress from their bed. He crawled right there with us and the mattress down over top and helped us while that storm blew uh-huh. past. Huh. You know the Lord was protecting us, uh-huh. that we have to give through there.
Yes.
But no, many and many. And I know one time we was out in the Illinois River, went out fishing, had a tent. Uh-huh. And there was about 20 foot, you know, straight up.
Yeah.
We was on a little island. And the men were down fishing, and three of us women with our children were there alone. And we could hear something come, and we ran quickly to that. And
you figured it was a twister?
We knew what it was. We grabbed hold of the things, you know, out in the bank. It's straight up. But
trees?
The trees.
Roots?
Yes, we grabbed hold of those, got the kids inside. Uh-huh. And I just sat there tumbling, it whipped our skirts, you know, and our back of our breeches, you know, and we tore them. And I thought, oh, the poor kids are going to get through. And you know what they did?
What?
Wasn't that fun? And then I said, thank God that they didn't go through the horror of it, you know. And we had to bring the boat up. Every little while, bring the boat up. But
what happened to your husbands in that?
Well, they were down the river. They couldn't get back up.
Oh.
It was just a blowing and a going. Uh-huh. And they didn't know what we were. And they had to kept the same, you know, to get it. Yeah. But anyway, we all got back home all right. And then I say, but I've seen them in Oklahoma and in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And I thought they up here. There's nothing that would. I really believe we know the crust of the earth is turning. We know that. And I think that it's coming because last winter, you know, had a different winter than ordinarily and different summer. Mm-hmm. And it's.
Changes in the weather.
And it's getting colder in Tampa. Yes.
What is it?
Yes, it's getting. When I went there in 43, they'd never had a fire in the heat.
Is that
for heat.
Right? We
had those what they call little lanterns, mm-hmm. you know, carry if you needed maybe a little bit and needed 2 feet, but there was no heat. And of course now, every place has a heat as well as mm-hmm. air conditioning. Uh-huh. But it's getting colder right along, uh-huh. getting through it. And I know back a few years ago in Arizona, it was dredging a little lake or slop, what it was, that, you know, went down dry.
Yeah.
And they pulled out to see what was down in it. They could see those trees. Uh-huh. They pulled those trees up. There were citrus.
Citrus?
Yes, uh-huh. an old citrus orchard.
Uh-huh.
So at one time, they had citrus weather there. And I feel that. And uh-huh. I don't know whether you do or not, but I'm like the ministers, I don't believe it will be long until the battle of Armageddon will come. Uh-huh. And what I'm working and praying and trying, what can we do to help people to see and realize, mm-hmm. and get ready for it, so that it will all be all through there. But
Well, you've certainly seen a lot in your life, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. And I say some of it. In the first place, I thank God so much mm-hmm. for giving me. The grandparents and the parents that I had.
Your family was the strongest part in your life, huh?
Yeah, they were.
Your grandparents too, huh?
Oh.
What were they like?
My grandmother, she thought she was so sinful. Uh-huh. She thought she said she was so sinful. And I think what she was, but listen, she died of cancer of the stomach. And you know, she wouldn't even take it. Morphine's all they could give then. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't take it. And they says, well, you go. Take this to keep from suffering. She said, I can't suffer as much as Christ suffered, mm-hmm. and I'll be there. Mm-hmm. And I said, when she, the night before she died, mm-hmm. my mother and I stayed with her. Now, it was no hallucination, and the ministers say they believe, they know that it did occur. She had 9 children, and all were Christians excepting the youngest, mm-hmm. and that would be there. And she, when I was looking at her, she's looking, I says, Grandma, what do you see? And she says, oh, she says, that beautiful white rope song. Mm-hmm. And she says, and my babies, she never lost one. Mm-hmm. Says, God be praised, they're all over there. Uncle Wes was still unconverted. But she saw the Book of Life. Mm-hmm. Because in 10 years after she was gone, he was converted and tried to do differently. And when she couldn't raise her hands, you know, she just see, she starved to death.
Yeah.
And it could that way. And when it come to go, she thought I was the best singer around.
Uh-huh.
And she says, I want you to sing to me when I'm on my way. And there's that, oh, sing to me of heaven when I am called to die.
Oh, yes.
Sing songs of holy ecstasy to wrap my soul high, you know, that way. And when she was about gone, her hands went straight up in the air. She couldn't raise her hands.
Yeah.
They went straight up in the air, and she says, oh, my blessed master.
Oh.
And they held her hands,
moving,
helped hold her hands up for her, and that's the way she went. She wanted to dress in white, and I did.
Mm.
And through there.
She's kind of moving, isn't it? Well, it must have been quite a day.
Oh, I don't know how I could do some of the things that I've done. I don't know how I could to be all there. And I say, I thought I was a Christian, but I couldn't have been I wanted to. But it, as I say, I'm not a Catholic. I don't, in the first place, I don't believe the denomination isn't going to save you.
Yeah.
But when I went up to Denver to get away from everything, and didn't want in a car or anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So across from the hotel I was staying in was a Catholic church. I went over there.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't talk, but I heard him. He gave good sermons. And he finally come over. He says, I want to know something. He says, if you could, would you change places and have your son, be the drunkard, responsible for a good boy's death?
Mm.
You see, I couldn't talk. It was 6 months.
Is that right?
6 months they gone. There was no, they tested my vocal cords. You know, you can play a tune on them. No, they tested them. It was there. And all I could think of was to kill that man.
Mm.
That's the only thing I could think of. And he says, would you? And when he said that, why? They thought that Paul could be like that. And they said, I left an awful guttural sound come out of me, just going that way.
Yeah.
And I got the doctor then. I can't sing high or as good like I could. I sing enough to carry, to lead music. I can do some kind of, but I can't like it was. But I say it, I know I'm all right now,
mm-hmm.
and through. And I'm just sorry that it took so long. But God had patience with me, didn't He?
Yeah, that's true.
He did. He has patience with us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could get something like that.
Well, you've had quite a life.
Well, I was talking to my daughter-in-law, to Oscar's wife. I says, Dorothy, would you be willing to go back and live your life over? Oh, she says, no. She says, would you? I said, yes.
Hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I could, and she says, well, after I went through part of hell with my leg,
mm-hmm.
it bursted, you know, just a bit swelled, it bursted. And,
did it burst?
Ulfrobitis, it swelled.
Oh.
And then those times it was milk leg. They called it milk leg.
Oh.
Back in that time, they didn't know anything what to do,
uh-huh.
but it's been about, I think about 10 years since I got it. Finally got it healed over.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And it's
10 years.
Yeah, about 10. It got me down, so it's gotten better and better. But now I fell last February, and crushed my head here, and now they say that in the blood vessels I got the calcium and it'll be that way. But I take pain medicine, and I can still talk. You know, and so hard to be there. But no, I'd like to see, I told them in here, I said, I wish we had days to say, let's all smile. Let's just not have anything but smiles today.
Yeah.
Not have any frown wrinkles. I've got plenty of wrinkles, but I...
Mm-hmm. Well, you've come out of life feeling pretty good.
Well,
huh?
When my boys, I've got to pick Oscar, well, he was an 11-month baby. They weighed 14 and a quarter
mm-hmm.
when it come. when his year
14 ounces? 14 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he weighed 50 pounds I've got a picture of him in the go-kart, and you can tell he's fat. Uh-huh. And I say, I thought I had the world with the tail, and when I was there with him, I'd like to live through that time again when I had them. I thought everyone, when I walked down the street, they were going, oh, I wish they were my boys. They were devilish, I know they were. Uh-huh. And, you know, I don't mean, but they were mischievous, the things, but I
thought they were the greatest.
Yeah, I did. Of course, we wanted a girl, they wanted a sister, but it was impossible that, it was impossible to have any more and all through there. But I don't know if people could only realize the fear and the worry of to know if they let God get him to help them into it, we wouldn't have all those fears.
Yes,
it wouldn't be, and how we could.
Did your Christianity mostly give you that assurance and that joy?
Yes. Yes.
You were very Christian then.
Yes.
Your whole life.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how I could wanted to kill someone. Uh-huh. I can do the thing that way. What is? I don't know how I could if I was. So the minister says, "Well, you was in shock. They all know you was in shock, and that way." But I said, "Would my grandmother wanted to kill someone in that?" Now that's what. But I'm trying not think about it because I know that God's forgiven me and put out everything in that way. But yes, I had a good Christian home, and my grandparents, and around people. We didn't know cigarette smoking and the drink and all things in those days. I can remember one boy that he'd crawl off, got hold of cigarettes somewhere, some kind, and got out behind the barn smoking, and one of the kids says, he's out there smoking corduroys. I don't know how he got it, but I say that was something that everybody thought was so, all the kids, you know, thought it was all. But it...
It was bad?
Well, that's what we thought how it would be.
Yeah.
And I know one doctor told me I'd have to quit smoking, and I said, well, I can't. He says, well, you'll have to kill you. I says, well, I'll have to start before I can quit. And he said, oh, that way. But it was something with, after the TB, you know, with it settled into it to go there. Mm-hmm. But no, I have too much to be thankful for to now to think about the unhappiness.
Yeah.
There's one thing, my son, as I say, he comes in every month. He left me an insurance that I'm drawing on an annuity.
Oh.
And I say that seemed to be his, he was 23, but that seemed to be his thought. He wanted to be sure
take care of
there was something, of the loss in through there. Uh-huh. But no.
What did your husband do after he left the oil business?
Well, he had quit and come to TV.
Yeah, what did he do then?
Well, he went had to go to the sanitarium.
Did
he had to go and stay there.
Oh, permanently?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
He died in there.
Oh, he had a bad case.
Yes, yes.
How much later did he die there?
Let me think. Oh, let me think. I could have told you right now. Mm-hmm. He was in there.
Well, was it too late? Had he had it a long time?
He had had it and didn't know it.
Oh.
And he had an appendectomy. Uh-huh. Of course, you see, he had it and was home.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't stay in the hospitals then.
Yeah.
I took care of him. Mm-hmm. And all until I found he was, the way he was coughing and the thing, and I said...
Oh, you guessed then, honey.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I said, so... when I thought was the doctor's got it, and yes, it was bad, you know, so he'd had, you know, you'd have that quite a while, you'd have cancer.
Yeah.
I had cancer a long time before I knew I had it.
Oh.
And in fact, when they had the surgery for the first cancer, they didn't tell me it's cancer. Uh-huh. And to put me alert, a woman then that was too nervous to tell him anything, so they thought.
Oh, you've been single for some time. When did he die now, about 1930?
30, let me think. Oh,
think it was 33. Mm-hmm. I believe 33.
Oh, so you had to go through a lot of the Depression
yeah.
alone.
Huh? Oh, yes. The boys. The boys and I.
And you still put your boy into Eastman school.
Well, he had...
Because he had a scholarship.
As I say, I had... You see, the older one was gone at that time.
The old what?
My Paul had been killed.
Yeah, I see.
And I had the annuity from him. And we went out with faith in that. Uh-huh. And he got jobs in singing. In the choir. And finally then they got him in some of the big churches. The school put him in.
In Rochester?
As director. And as I say, after three months in the beauty school, I got pay.
Oh, you were nursing and then in the beauty school.
Uh huh. I quit, and it was better for me to be there than it was, because the nursing, it was very painful, you know, I wasn't big enough to see people dying, at least unsaved, and when you couldn't do anything and all.
Yeah, but
I got what I would do, and as the longer we were in, the more we got, you know, on doing the work, and it.
What was it like as a beauty operator?
Wonderful.
Was it?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
When I sat in the school, some people dirtier than I am come in. You know, the women, they look so bedraggled, their hair all, and what to do. Oh, what pleasure I got in fixing up to go out looking nice. Uh-huh. Oh, I just felt so good.
Uh-huh.
And going in, I learned the massage. Yes, before shampoo. Before anything, to give
them a massage.
I'd give them a shot, massage, yes. And
where were you located when you were professional?
Well, I went, when we first went up, did you ever hear of Sio Street up in Rochester?
No, I've never been up to Rochester.
Well, it was there. It was the cheapest place we could find to live, uh-huh. you know, together.
Sure.
And through, and then I finally went on Goodman. I can remember that.
Uh-huh.
But it made me feel good to see them come in and go out, and I felt good when when Roberts, the man, when he told me, he says, you did me good and you didn't know it. When I wouldn't answer, but that's just the way I was. I don't do this and hey you.
Yeah.
Hey you, and I never answered. Went along. I says, well, how would I know where it was and all through.
Was that in a hospital? You were a nurse in a hospital?
During the Second World War, I had an emergency ward to take care of by myself of 50.
Mm-hmm. 50?
50 people.
Wow.
They say they can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
One purple. And I say sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes you had to stay on.
You have to.
You know, more. And this one time, I told you when I...
Yeah, you once.
When I... The man died, and I had dropped down asleep by him. But I had prepared him already, so they knew that I hadn't gone asleep on the job. But the nursing, too, I couldn't take it. I saw one little girl, she's 3 years old, and her father and mother went, and the mother, I said, oh, she was so sweet. I said that the boys want a sister. She says, will you take my little girl? I says, oh, I would love to. And, you know, the girl called me Mama. I nursed it, and she died in there. Well, that nearly got the boys and me. Then 6 weeks was going to take one where the parents run and left the children.
Uh-huh.
And there were six children. And then finally they said they'd help the grandmother to keep them all together, so we didn't try anymore. Uh-huh. But I say, so many things you think of back, and uh-huh. it's... If we sit down and write down the good things we've had in life, we won't have time to come to the bad things, will we? If
That's
we
true.
Take care of all the good things first. So
yeah, you're absolutely right.
And of what we have to be thankful for,
and
all through there, you know. And I say, I know that if my dad was here, I am sure he could get in here and get the kids and get them up and then straighten out and be with them.
Mm-hmm.
He had that knack. Because in 30 years,
he was a good one, huh?
Yeah, he was. He knew what it was, you know, to not to have a home, you know, when he was growing up the kids.
Yeah.
And he wrote quite a few songs, and
Where is he buried?
Down in Florida. We went down to... Oh, yes.
Your father?
Yeah. You see, when there was no Social Security then, or anything.
Yeah.
And they took it. Well, there was my sister and a brother and I. And just, you know, raising our families.
Yeah.
She had 5 children, you know. Mm-hmm. And there, we didn't have the money to pay to keep them in their own place.
Yeah.
So, and mother wanted to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
And would say, and where it was, I said, well, and I said, mother, how I need you to come and help me. Mm-hmm. To help me, they'd not come and help me. So mm-hmm. she would come and be with me, stay there with me to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best would come, my sister say, well, mother, you know, you've helped Sig a while. Mm-hmm. How about coming and helping me a while if
yeah.
she can get along? And that's what we'd do with her. Mm-hmm. To, she had to be needed. I want to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be to
yeah.
feel that someone's doing.
Yeah.
I want to do something for
yeah.
people.
And you can't do that when you're living alone, huh?
A lot of things. Well, I can do mending for my brats. My kids in West Virginia. Uh-huh. A little brat was a nice word for their children.
Oh, I see.
An honorary yeah. little brat was a cute little baby.
Oh, I see.
So, I had that. No, I can do it. Help them. And my daughter-in-law. If she was my daughter, she couldn't be any better to me than she is. And my grandchildren, they're good to me. I love them. And, of course, we all like music. Every last one of them is musical to be through there.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's nice.
It's just wonderful to...
Well, I think that's...